This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with sign of innocence, birth of Isaac, cast out the slave woman, God heard, and treaty with Abimelech. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Unto you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through Jesus, same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the prophet Malachi, chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. For the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
morning to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" He answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen."
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Have you ever considered a concept of tribalism? It was interesting to hear from one of the instructors of the Lutheran Leadership Development Program, LLDP, when he spoke half jokingly, one of his classes, saying that LCMS pastors are divided into two tribes, Concordia Theological Seminary Tribe and Concordia Seminary Tribe. Of course, we are so blessed with two distinctively great seminaries. But to apply the word tribe to the graduates of our seminaries was something new to me. It was obvious that the instructor was trying to make a point by using the concept that participants of the LLDP could easily relate, as those Lutheran church leaders came from 10 church bodies in 8 countries, mostly from Africa, where tens and hundreds of tribes exist side by side, either peacefully with mutual respect or at times not so peacefully with some struggles. The kinship law of Israel was very, very important for the Jews. Therefore, I would think that the most insulting words, no doubt, in the preaching of John the Baptist was this: do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones, namely the Gentiles, to raise up children for Abraham. John challenged the tribalisms of the hearers, the crowds who claim to have Abraham as their father, the common ancestor, with pride and with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto. Now that Christ has come, John the Baptist proclaimed, being raised up as children of Abraham has become meaningless before God. For God can raise up from these stones, through the John's preaching, the God's people. God was already doing that by the preaching of John the Baptist for baptism. God considers Gentiles as the Israelite. What an insult. But that is what the way God has been doing and God has been viewing after the death of Jesus. John's preaching was somehow repeated more firmly by Jesus himself in Matthew 28. Unlike Matthew 10, when Jesus told his apostles to go only to the lost house of Israel, at the end of the gospel, he mandated the 11 to make disciples of all the Gentiles. The claim of having kinship with the father Abraham no longer avails for salvation. Pharisees and Sadducees didn't get the preaching of John the Baptist. They didn't have any clue. They thought they had already been engrafted into Abraham through circumcision. They thought they had absolutely no need for repentance and baptism. They firmly believed that they were the people of God because of their kinship or law. The crowds, the tax collectors, and the soldiers, on the other hand, reacted differently to John's preaching. They said, "What shall we do?" They recognized their need for repentance. Now we observe that John's preaching here is somehow repeated in Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. Both sermons preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Both hearers responded by saying, "What shall we do?" And both sermons pointed to holy baptism Jesus institutes. To be sure, to ask a question, "What shall we do?" is still a wrong question. No one can obtain forgiveness of sin by doing something. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or even come to him. Yet the best that the hearts that are struck by the law could react is nothing other than to say, "What shall we do?" Through the sermons of John and Peter, the hearers recognize their need for repentance and forgiveness. So, which tribe do you think you belong? No, I'm not talking about CTS tribe and the CSL tribe. Rather, the Pharisees and Sadducees tribe, or the crowds, tax collectors and soldiers tribe. Do you wish to claim something of your heritage before God? Because all of us are blessed with heritage, ancestors, and friendship network. Or do you recognize that before God, any of the tribal heritage is nothing, because we are never forgiven because of our mere belonging to a certain heritage? Jesus is our Savior. He brings salvation through the word preached, holy baptism, holy absolution, and his body and blood that we are given to eat and to drink. Advent is a time of preparation. How shall we prepare for the Lord's coming? John says, repent. John prepared the way of Jesus by preaching repentance. If we think we must prepare our hearts by removing obstacles to make it easier for Jesus to come into our hearts, we will miss the main point. Perhaps we think that we must remove our sin as a preparation for Jesus by ourselves, because our sin is what keeps Jesus away. But sadly, we are not capable of making his path straight by ourselves. If you are a sinner, if you are a brood of vipers, which all we all are, you are in need of salvation of God. The only sin that keeps Jesus away from you is sin that you don't want Jesus to take away from you and to bear on the cross. Repentance means to give Jesus your sin so that he may bear it and take it away from you. Unrepentance means to say to Jesus, no, thank you, and to say to him, I want to keep my sin to myself. But when Jesus takes your sin to the cross, the only thing that is left for you is forgiveness. Jesus has taken your sin to the cross and answered for it all. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to you through the Word so that you may see your salvation in him. John said, I baptize with the water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Just as Peter's Pentecost sermon ended up with holy baptism, here too, John's sermon pointed to baptism that Jesus would institute. Jesus himself received the Holy Spirit in his baptism, and he received the fiery wrath of God in our place in his bloody baptism on the cross. Our baptism that is yours, our baptism issued by our Lord, embraces both of these baptisms. You receive the Holy Spirit in your baptism. In your baptism, you are brought into the death and resurrection of Jesus. He brought your sin to the cross and answered for it all. You are his, marked by the gift of his name. You are the location where his name lives, the place of his care, mercy, and blessing. God, who can raise up children of Abraham from stones, is here to effect sacramental union out of bread and wine. Jesus bids you come to his table to receive forgiveness of sin that he has achieved on the cross for you. We get to see our salvation of God here and now. What shall we do? Nothing, absolutely nothing. You are the invited, dear guests of the Lord at his table. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Seth Horn and his family as they mourn the death of his father, Edgar. And we also pray for the family of the Reverend Keenan Burba, a longtime PhD student of our seminary who has also recently died. Together with the whole creation, as we await the great and glorious day of Christ's return, let us pray for the church and for all those in need. Together with the whole creation, as we await the great and glorious day of Christ's return, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the preaching of the cross of Christ may go forth and that many would come to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the faithful would find strength and comfort in God's holy word and remain steadfast in the truth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may be delivered from the forces of darkness that seek to hurt and harm us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant us honest and upright rulers in the civil realm and prosper the work of their hands, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would guard the young people in our church, defending them from every evil of body and soul and keeping them in his embrace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that those who provide care and protection for the vulnerable among us would receive strength to be God's instruments of healing and love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That those who suffer infirmities of body would find healing, and that those who mourn, including the families of Edgar and Keenan, would be comforted by the promise of life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that all who partake this day of Christ's body and blood may with a clean conscience receive his gifts of forgiveness and life and look forward to the day of his return. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Confident, O Lord, that you hear our prayers, we lay them before you and wait in expectation for your mighty deliverance, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given us to eat and to drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, Drink of it all of you. This cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.